If you've ever put an eye drop in your eye, you know that it certainly feels like an imperfect process. Even when you get the drop square on target, there's often some overflow leading to excess medication dripping down your cheek. You might even think you missed or you're doing it wrong, but chances are you're doing it right and the cost of those drops is dripping away.
Our next guest says that many drug companies make the typical eye drop larger than the human eye can hold, and that really isn't an accident. He says these companies are aware that's happening and have done nothing to fix it. That's leading to wasted drugs and wasted money, and in some cases it does put patients at risk.
Marshall Allen joins us now. He's a reporter for ProPublica, where he covers patient safety and healthcare costs. His latest reporting has looked at the many ways healthcare dollars are being wasted in the United States. Marshall, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me here.
Well, people might hear eye drops and think about that, you know, Visine or generic of that and think, oh, that's pretty cheap. We're not wasting that much money. But some of those prescription eye drops, and you also read about liquid cancer medications, it's really expensive stuff to be wasting.
Oh, it's incredibly expensive. You know, a cheap bottle of Visine, obviously, that's almost something you feel like you could throw away without losing a lot of money. But a lot of these drugs can cost hundreds of dollars a bottle, especially for something like glaucoma medications and people who take medication for chronic dry eyes. And so if those drops are being made larger than they need to be, that's causing patients to run out of their bottles too soon and have to replace their bottles too soon. And in some cases, that's expensive. In other cases, you know, your insurance company might not let you get a replacement soon enough, and you could go days without your medication. And that's really dangerous for people with glaucoma who are using that eye drop to prevent blindness.
So talk about the difference between the size of the drop that gets dispensed out of those medical eyedroppers and what our eye can actually take in at once.
Well, so, you know, it's amazing how little this has been studied. I mean, the study that everyone cites goes all the way back to almost like 50 years ago. But they estimate that the eye can hold at most an additional 23 microliters of fluid. And the typical drop is anywhere from 20 microliters up to 70 microliters. So most drops contain more liquid than your eye can contain. And some of them are two or three times bigger than what your eye can contain. And so really it's the effect of like pouring water into a glass that's already full. It just overflows and there's no therapeutic effect.
Now, stepping away from the cost for a moment, in some cases, this can be maybe not dangerous, but it can create some side effects, burning eyes and things like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's another thing that's really interesting. I don't know if you or any of your listeners have ever had the sensation of tasting your eye drop.
Sure.
But your eye drops actually can get ingested. The excess eye medication can get ingested through the ducts of your eye into your sinuses and then into your body. And that can actually be dangerous for some of these really potent medications.
Do we have a sense of how much money is being literally dripped away one drop at a time?
So that's really hard to estimate. But, you know, the market for just glaucoma drugs and chronic dry eye drugs, those bring in for drug companies about $3.4 billion per year. So it's a huge market for eye drops. With cancer medication, that's the other thing I looked at with this story. Single-use cancer vials are estimated to waste about $1.8 billion in healthcare spending. And that's a study by Dr. Peter Bach at Memorial Sloan Kettering Hospital out here in New York.
And you talked to some patients who have this problem, who use the eye drops for things like glaucoma treatment. Can you talk about people like Gregory Matthews, who relies on those drops?
Yeah, so Gregory Matthews is a glaucoma patient, and you know there's a lot of people like him around the country, and he has to take drops every morning and every night to keep the eye pressure down in his eyes, and that actually protects him from blindness. Now, Gregory said no matter how hard he tries, every time he puts in his drops, you know, they're running down his face. And he didn't know, and I think most patients don't know, that the drug companies are actually selling you more medication than you can possibly use. And so he's had the problem of running out of his drugs. And, you know, when he runs out of his eye drops, you know, he blames himself. You know, he just thinks he did something wrong. But he's also panicked because he could become more blind, you know, if he doesn't take his drops every morning and every night. So when he realized that the drops are just frankly too big for his eyes, it actually made him kind of angry. You know, he felt betrayed. It felt like his trust had been violated.
Talking to Marshall Allen from ProPublica, he's been reporting on wasted medical expenses. We're talking now about one of his most recent pieces, eye drops, and some other liquid medications. They come in serving sizes, doses that are too big for us to absorb. And Marshall Gregory didn't know that these eye drops were being made too big. But you talked to people who'd worked for the drug industry who knew and have known it for a long time. And there's been research on fixing it to make more appropriate dispensing tools.
Yeah, so, you know, the research on this goes back for decades, and probably the most interesting case study that I highlighted was the drug company Alcon. Alcon is a big, giant drug company. It's now owned by Novartis, and they specialize in eye care. Back in the early 90s, they wanted to try and make eye drops less irritating, you know, less side effects, less itching and burning when you put them in. And so they created what they called a micro drop. So in their research and development department, you know, in the lab, they made this little drop that was about half the size of a regular drop. It was only 16 microliters, so there was no waste with that drop. It could completely be absorbed into the eye. And they found that it was just as effective. It was a glaucoma drug, so it was just as effective in reducing the pressure in the eye. It also didn't cause as many side effects, and all the patients preferred using it. But when it came to actually bringing it out on the market, they decided that it might have too many questions and might cause too many problems with their revenue and their profits. And so the company ended up killing the project.
Right. Because if you're selling this to the board at a corporation, you're saying, hey, I've invented this thing that allows us to sell about half the amount of product that we usually sell. It's really going to make a financial difference.
Exactly. And that's kind of the thing. It raised so many questions about what they would do. You know, they also had to think through, well, are we going to now change all of our products to micro drops? Are we going to change the prices? Because if we don't change the price and keep the price the same, then our competitors are going to accuse us of charging more for our eye drops. You know, it's a real cutthroat industry, and they just had to think through all these variables, and in the end, they just decided not to risk it.
So the technology exists to cut this waste. Is any company actually using this in, say, eye drops?
There is no micro drop available right now in the United States. There are some different companies who are trying to do it, and there are some different countries in Europe that are doing it. So, you know, this is a wide open field, and we may see something like that in the future. There's other, you know, attempts to do things. Eye drops are not a good way to put medication in. I mean, you know, it's hard to administer them. Patients, especially elderly patients, have a hard time administering them. And so, you know, they're trying different technologies to improve it.
And you write, by analogy, imagine if you were taking a pill that's a medication. For every one pill you take, you throw away one or two more.
Well, that's what it's like, you know. And this is where I really, the point I'm trying to drive home with all these stories about wasted medical spending, this is our money. You know, this is our spending. So a lot of times you may have insurance, but you're paying for that insurance. There's out-of-pocket costs that are involved. That insurance is part of your overall compensation as an employee. And so if your employer could spend less on your insurance coverage, they might be able to pay more for your salary. These are our taxpayer dollars for Medicare plans, for Medicaid plans. This is our money collectively that's being wasted. And it's being wasted to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars a year when you add it all up.
So the companies don't want to take advantage of the technology that could fix this. Is there a federal regulatory agency like the Food and Drug Administration that could do something here?
Well, that's just it. There's not. I mean, you would think that the FDA would care about this, but the FDA's mission is to really look at the safety and the effectiveness of drugs. They're not looking at whether or not drugs could be delivered in a way that's less wasteful or less expensive.
How about something like, I'm brainstorming here, insurance companies or Medicare, people who are spending money on this, would they have leverage to push for this?
Well, I mean, you know, maybe, but I mean, you know, maybe Medicare would, because Medicare is big enough and they're national, you know, but insurance companies are very fragmented. It's really hard to say. I mean, but, you know, no one can really force a drug company to do something. A drug company would have to see the opportunity to, you know, offer some savings, and they're not really incentivized to do that. I mean, they're in the business of bringing in revenue and making profit for their investors, so it's just not something they're incentivized to do.
in this piece and others you're looking at, you know, a lot of people look at the cost of insurance and the cost of healthcare coverage. You're looking at the basic costs here. As you start to turn over stones and look at all these stories, are there a lot of opportunities like this to cut waste and save money?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been trying to look at just the black and white examples, like just waste is examples where we are blatantly just throwing things away that are still good or still useful. And I mean, I'm just one person. I'm identifying billions and billions of dollars being wasted every year if you look at just the stories that I've done. You know, you would hope that somebody might, and I've also tried to show solutions in each story I've done. So it doesn't have to be this way. And so my hope, I guess, is that as consumers feel more and more pressure from the rising healthcare costs, you know, we are really having more money taken from us every single year because of the rising healthcare costs that are eating up an even larger and larger portion of our economy every year. And at some point, consumers are going to say, we can't handle this anymore. And people are already saying that. And so I do think that we're kind of reaching the breaking point, and maybe that then will spur some change.
Are you getting a response as you publish these pieces from people in the public saying, yeah, what do we do to change this?
Yeah, you get huge response. You get huge response. But, you know, who really represents the patients and who speaks for the patients? That's just the hard part. You know, there are definitely some employer groups who push for change. So they have an opportunity, but you know, the rest of the healthcare industry, you know, they're the ones making the money. So they don't really want to push for the change.
Marshall, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. And I just want to remind people, you can go to ProPublica.org and just look at the series Wasted Medicine, and you can see all the stories there.
That's Marshall Allen, reporter for ProPublica. His recent piece there is Drug Companies Make Eye Drops Too Big and You Pay for the Waste.
Coming up after the news, our next guest says that one of the best ways to help girls be more confident is to allow them to be funny. We'll learn more after the news. I'm J. Carlisle Larson.
And I'm Rob Farah. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network.